X-29, number 8B.
I know I am giving you a very concentrated sense of what is presented in these questions and answers, but can you see the logical sequence connecting them? The Word gives a statement of God. Absolute Christian Science states this one God through a definition of God, Word, then states that this one God expresses himself through ideas, qualities, attributes, Christ, and finally states that all these expressions or ideas are one with God, that principle and idea is one, and that this one is God, Christianity. Then, this absolute statement of the Word, when viewed from the standpoint of Christian Science, declares that there are not souls, spirits, gods, or personalities, but one God, one mind only, Word. That therefore there is a divine demand to have but one mind, the mind of Christ, Christ. And this leads to the deducible statement that man is not material, but mind's manifestation, Christianity. Christ. This brings us to the next group of six questions and answers. And as I have said, they depict the Christ, the modus operandi of God, the manifestation of substance, life, and intelligence. In Absolute Christian Science, the Christ is explained to be the expression of God as intelligent, eternal, spiritual substance, as the life-giving substance of God, as the modus operandi of God, as the dynamics of being. The next three questions expound this Christ, first in its own aspect, then in the aspect of Christianity, and lastly in the aspect of the Word. The question, what is substance, depicts the Christ reflecting the Christ. We find here that God expresses himself as his own nature. This nature is spiritual and is substance. The question, what is life, gives us the Christ reflecting Christianity. God is shown to express himself eternally, and thereby the substance of his expressed nature is also rendered eternal. The question, what is intelligence, illustrates the aspect of the Christ reflecting the Word. God is revealed to express himself as intelligence, as the primal and eternal quality of mind. In short, these three questions and answers bring out that God has an expression which is a substantial, living, and intelligent power. This Christ, or modus operandi of the infinite God, good, when reduced to the level of Christian Science, deals with erroneous thought as the motivating power of evil. It deals with the devil or Antichrist. The Christ reflecting the Christ is depicted in the question, what is mind? The answer centers around the fact that God is the only power, that evil has no power, and, further, that good can never be transformed into evil. What is shown is that God good is the only mind, that evil or devil is not mind, and that this is the fact which has to be admitted. Then Mrs. Eddy puts the question, are doctrines and creeds a benefit to man? This gives us the aspect of the Christ reflecting Christianity. The answer expounds that adherence to doctrines and creeds is lifeless, while adherence to good, to all that proceeds from the divine mind, is the doctrine of life. Next, We come to the Christ reflecting the Word. And the question is, what is error? Mrs. Eddy's answer to this is that error is ignorance, a supposition, a contradiction, that error is not one of mind's faculties, but just a belief. Through her marginal heading, Evanescent Materiality, she indicates error to be the counterfeit of the manifestation of mind. The correlation between the three statements in Absolute Christian Science and the three in Christian Science is really striking. As I said, I can give you only a very condensed glimpse of what these questions and answers convey. To grasp their meaning and underlying substance, you will have to study them carefully yourselves. Pondering them deeply, you can gather a wealth of inspiration from them. What was the message of this second group of questions and answers? The main theme is the Christ, the modus operandi of God. The Christ in Absolute Christian Science reveals the nature of God's expression to be spiritual substance, Christ. That this substance of spirit is expressed eternally and consequently lives throughout eternity, Christianity, and that it operates as the all-intelligent quality of infinite mind, Word. Reduced to the level of Christian Science, it reveals that there are not two motivating powers, good and evil, God and the devil, the Christ and the Antichrist, but that there is only the substance of good, Christ. Further, we learn that God, life, must be lived by following the straight way of life, by adhering to the good which proceeds from the divine mind, and not by adhering to the dead letter, creeds and doctrines, Christianity. Finally, error, not having its source in mind, is uncovered as ignorance, which disappears before the intelligence of mind, Word. Christianity. Next, we have the six questions and answers treating Christianity, and they all deal with reality. The focus is no longer on God as in the Word, or on God's expression of himself as in the Christ. Now, the outcome of the Christ idea, spiritual reality, is brought into focus. The order of presentation is reversed here, as it often is in Christianity. As you know, in Christianity, you have either the order of statement leading to proof, or the reverse order of proof leading to statement. So, having the reverse order, we first have the standpoint of Christian Science, and then that of Absolute Christian Science. Each one viewed in the reverse order of Christianity, Christ, Word. But do not let this intricate layout divert you from the main line. Keep in mind that what comes into focus now is the question of reality and unreality. Christianity and Christian Science is the effect of the Christ idea on human problems. Through the first three questions, sinful humanity is explained to be unreal. Sin, sickness, and death, material man and body are proved to be unreal, are proved to be no part of the real man. The moment the tone of Christianity comes in, the question of man is brought up. The change of theme to Christianity is very noticeable here. The very first statement we encounter is, all reality is in God and his creation, harmonious and eternal. Science and Health 472, 24-25. Do you remember how all the Christianity chapters revolve round the question of divine reality? The first question, is there no sin, depicts Christianity reflecting Christianity. After stating that all reality is in God and His creation, Mrs. Eddy goes on to explain that sin, sickness, and death only seem to be real, but are unreal, and that Jesus proved this by destroying this triad of errors. Can you see that this is on the plane of Christian Science, on the plane of proving the unreality of sin? Then Mrs. Eddy goes on to the next question. What is man? And the answer is in the aspect of Christianity reflecting the Christ. First of all, Mrs. Eddy outlines the right picture of man by defining him as spiritual and not material, as the likeness and reflection of God, as unfallen, as incapable of sin, sickness, and death. She points out that mortals are but counterfeits of immortals. She then also brings in the Christ aspect through urging us to seek this immortal spiritual status of man, indicated that by doing so, mortality will disappear before the appearing of immortality. The real man can be beheld only through the mind of Christ. Following this, Mrs. Eddy asks, what are body and soul? Her answer to this question gives us the aspect of Christianity reflecting the Word, by defining real identity as the reflection of spirit. All identities of God are spiritual, and so man also can only be identified spiritually. The identity, man, is explained to be never in body or mortality, but always spiritual. Think of the marvelous sequence we have in these last three questions. The moment we go further to the questions on Christianity and absolute Christian Science, we come to the sublime declarations dealing with divine reality, with the allness of mind and the nothingness of matter. Do not be misled into thinking that we are on the plane of Christian Science just because matter or unreality is introduced. An absolute standpoint must not only state what is absolutely real, but also what is absolutely unreal. For instance, to say that error is nothing is as absolute a statement as to say that truth is all. A relative statement would be to say that truth saves from error. We have a typical example of an absolute statement about unreality in the very first question, which depicts Christianity reflecting Christianity. The question reads, does brain think? And do nerves feel? Is there intelligence in matter? The answer is a blunt no, and the text teems with negatives such as cannot, is not, has not, nothing, nothingness, and so on. All the claims of matter are denied in order to bring out its utter unreality. Scientific metaphysics expounds here the complete obliteration of matter. An understanding of this exposition is the Christ to a situation, and as is seen in the answer to the next question, which is written from the aspect of Christianity reflecting Christ. Is it important to understand these explanations in order to heal the sick? Mrs. Eddy asks, and her answer is a blunt yes, since understanding the allness of mind and the nothingness of matter is the Christ to a situation. She shows that Jesus' understanding was the truth power casting out error, that the mind of Christ, having but one mind, is the healer. Mind you, the stress in this question is not on healing, but on understanding as the truth power. And this explains why it is written on the plane of absolute Christian Science and not Christian Science. Having attributed the healing power solely to mind, Mrs. Eddy goes on to Christianity reflecting the word and deals with the question, does Christian Science or metaphysical healing include medication, material hygiene, mesmerism, hypnotism, theosophy, or spiritualism? The answer is again a blunt no. Here too we get an absolute statement that material laws and physical forces are elusive, that they exist but in mortal mind, and consequently are not factors in mind healing. Thus, metaphysics, the law of mind, is declared the only factor in Christian healing. Let me summarize the six questions on Christianity. As you can see, they all deal with the question of reality and unreality. Christianity, from the standpoint of Christian Science, proves the unreality of sin, sickness, and death. Christianity. Hence, the necessity to identify ourselves with the sinless spiritual man, which in turn brings about the disappearance of mortal man, Christ. And the fact is thereby established that man is an incorporeal spiritual identity, Word. Christianity, viewed from the standpoint of absolute Christian Science, lays bare the nothingness of matter and the allness of mind, Christianity, and that understanding this fact is the truth power, Christ, which rests purely on the metaphysics of mind and excludes any other factors in metaphysical healing, Word. Are you beginning to realize that all these questions are not picked at random, but that each one of them covers a specific cardinal aspect within the system of scientific metaphysics? The more one perceives the exactness of Mrs. Eddy's exposition of the scientific system of Christian Science, the more one is convinced that it was not thought out humanly, but that it was pure revelation from God. This gives one that wonderful trust and conviction that the textbook is the voice of truth itself. Science. This leaves us with the last six questions, those on science. The stress of the aspect of science is on understanding and knowing that we must understand the Word, the Christ, and Christianity. Again, we have first the standpoint of Christian Science, and then that of absolute Christian Science. Science, from the standpoint of Christian Science, teaches us through what channels we can grasp the infinite subject. Here we get a big exposition that science and scientific understanding, not material sense and belief, must be the interpreter. Science, reflecting the Word, is exhibited through the answer to the question, is materiality the concomitant of spirituality, and is material sense a necessary preliminary to the understanding and expression of spirit? The question is, through what channel can reality be grasped? Can it be grasped through material sense, or must it be grasped through a scientific sense? Material sense is shown to be a false sense and therefore absurd. Christian Science bases itself on spiritual instruction, on learning, understanding, on spiritual sense, on spiritual understanding, on spiritual schooling, on the exercise of mind faculties. Its implements are not false notions, blind beliefs, ephemeral views, material sense, and the like. We are taught here that only scientific means lead to life. The antithesis of understanding versus belief is further expounded in the following question, depicting the aspect of science reflecting the Christ. The question is, you speak of belief, who or what is it that believes? The answer goes to show that matter and body cannot believe, that only the believer believes, and belief has no power to heal, while mind knows and understands, and this understanding makes whole the diseased. In this connection, Mrs. Eddy reminds us that biblical meaning of the term belief should not be confounded with the present-day meaning of the term, which in those days was used to convey the meaning of faith, understanding, trust, constancy, and firmness. Having stated that understanding, not belief, is dynamic and efficacious, Mrs. Eddy goes to the aspect of science reflecting Christianity and asks, do the five corporeal senses constitute man? You see, the moment the aspect of Christianity comes in, man enters the picture. From the answer to this question, we see that material sense cannot cognize reality, that the less we trust it, the better off we are. The corporeal senses can testify only to mortal man, and would, if they could, annihilate man. The dream of the corporeal senses constitutes mortal man. What constitutes the real man is a knowledge of science, and so we find that we are just as much man as we have understanding. While the foregoing three questions dealt with an objective approach to reality through understanding, the next three questions, which are written from the standpoint of science and absolute Christian science, give us a subjective sense of scientific understanding, the wonderful sense that understanding is being. First, we have the aspect of science reflecting the word, which is introduced through the question, will you explain sickness and show how it is to be healed? While the chapter Christian Science Practice deals with this question from the standpoint of Christian science, Mrs. Eddy here lifts the answer to the plane of absolute Christian science. She explains that disease is really nothing more than mortal mind or belief made manifest, and that, therefore, the highest remedy for it lies in an understanding of God. Understanding God identifies itself eternally in health, holding being constantly intact. Hence, abiding in such understanding forestalls the possibility of becoming sick. The next question gives us the aspect of science reflecting the Christ. How can I progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian science? The answer is that the more we identify ourselves with God through understanding, the more God uses us, the more God enables us to demonstrate His Christ power, the more God demonstrates our real being. And the final question, which depicts science reflecting Christianity, is, have Christian scientists any religious creed? The answer, which comprises the well-known tenets of Christian science, centers around the fact that a scientist's highest creed is an understanding of the divine principle, an understanding of the word of life, the Christ ideal and sinless Christianity, which demonstrates a scientific practical religion, as exemplified by Jesus. What did we learn through these last six questions? The dominant theme is science, scientific understanding. Science in Christian science gives us an objective sense of understanding. It contrasts science and understanding with material sense and belief. First, it shows the necessity of understanding as a way to reality, word. Such an understanding is then revealed as powerful and belief as powerless, Christ. And finally, we learn that understanding determines and constitutes man, While material sense cannot testify to man, Christianity. On the plane of absolute Christian Science, we have a subjective sense of understanding. That understanding is being. First, we are told that understanding life, which knows no destructive elements, maintains perfect being, Word. Then we find that unity with God through understanding demonstrates itself in immortal fruits, Christ. And lastly, we see that an understanding of God makes man a scientist in theory and practice, Christianity. Let us return to the broad lines in order to catch the main message of this whole chapter, recapitulation. Remember, it gives us in a few words the teaching of Christian Science. It starts with that unique definition of God, and then deduces from that one grand root the whole system of scientific metaphysics. Spiritually perceived, one question logically leads to the next, thus leaving no main category of the system untouched. In this manner, we see how the divine principle reaches every part of the system. So the 24 questions and answers are not just answers to 24 interesting questions without any connection or relation between them. They form one big logical deduction from the one divine principle. First of all, the first six answers give a definition and a statement of God as one God, the all God, and not as God's many, Word. Then the second six answers illustrate the modus operandi of God as the manifestation of substance, life, and intelligence, setting at naught the belief that evil, creeds, and error can accomplish anything, Christ. The third six answers prove the unreality of matter, sin, sickness, and death, and the reality and allness of spirit, Christianity. Lastly, the fourth six answers explain that scientific knowledge and understanding, not belief and sense testimony, constitute being, science. Through this line of reasoning, Mrs. Eddy translates the one being into every department of the system of being. Recapitulation shows that the one divine principle of science has a Christ, and that this principle expresses itself through its ideal, by translating itself into a scientific system of metaphysics, which comprises all the diversified categories of Christian Science. The standpoint of the whole chapter is science reflecting the Christ. Can you see that the office of the Christ here differs from that in the Christ chapters? There, the Christ was shown in its office of revealing God to man. But here, the Christ is presented in its office of interpreting the underlying principle as a system of ideas which can be understood and demonstrated. This may help you to perceive why science as the Christ is the comforter. To grasp principle as a whole would be impossible. An attempt to do so would never lead to demonstration. But the fact that principle translates itself to a scientific system of ideas makes it understandable and demonstrable. That is the comfort. In telling you all this, I wish to convey to you a sense of the great import of this chapter. It is so vital because what I have been presenting to you is not something going on in an abstract system outside you. We are considering the way of life, your life, my life, everybody's life. The textbook is the story of our being. The last chapter we considered teaching Christian Science, taught us to abide by the divine principle, to be principle's idea. So cut out the sense that man is a Mr. So-and-so and a Mrs. So-and-so. Man is principle's idea. Recapitulation takes us a step further and expounds principle's idea to be the manifestation of the one divine principle as an infinitely ordered and classified system of ideas. Just think what this implies.